This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Keith, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise BizBytes, and it is just after 12:04 in the afternoon. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Sandu.
Frida Liu.
As usual, we'll be with you till just before 1 o'clock. Today's topic of discussion, we're talking about toxic workplaces. And when I talk about toxic workplaces, I don't mean that have toxic chemicals, toxic gases.
We use good paint here.
But this is something that I'm addressing because somebody has already mentioned in a Instagram story about how the aviation industry deals with a lot of toxic gases whilst they are there. What I mean by that, and I should be a little clearer, I suppose, in our social media, was an environment in which you work where you feel uncomfortable. You're made to feel uncomfortable for whatever reason. Maybe the colleagues that you work with are not as pleasant as they should be. Maybe your bosses are not as pleasant as they should be. Maybe there are little cliques that you don't feel comfortable around in that workspace. Maybe you're just being made to work a little harder than you think you should be. So what we're asking today is, have you been part of a toxic workplace? Have you worked in a toxic environment? Do let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Now, the reason we're talking about this, a story was highlighted in The Verge about the company Away. They are a company that make luggage, although they say they're actually a travel company. And what they have done, they sold a vision of travel and inclusion, but former employees have come forward and said it masked a toxic work environment. We'll be discussing more about that in a few minutes. After that, speaking about toxic environments of a different kind, Jeff has a story about why sustainable financing is crucial. Why might that be, Jeff?
Because I think you may have seen some recent reports that apparently, said Malaysian banks have been channeling, billions of US dollars from August, from 2015 till August this year, to companies that were implicated in the recent fires.
Over in Indonesia, of course.
Over Indonesia, yeah.
Now, wrapping up the segment today, we'll be talking about Cyber Monday. Of course, we had 11-11 not too long ago.
And tomorrow's 12-12.
Tomorrow is 12-12. So we are looking and comparing some figures of sales, of course. Right. On to this story about emotional baggage, if you like. So, as I mentioned, Away, they sold the idea of this. They promised a lifestyle of inclusion and nice vacations, founded by two women. One is a person of color, and they sought to run a globally minded business, and they did pretty well. And like many fast growing startups, their workplace is organized around digital communication. It's how employees talk, it's how they plan projects and get feedback from coworkers and higher ups. Now, they use the popular chat app Slack, which has the motto "Where work happens," but of course, being a startup, a lot of other chatter happens there too. There was a private Slack channel set up not too long ago where people could go and use it as a third space. So, in other words, it was like a safe space where marginalized employees could go and vent their third space, according to them anyway. But it was against company policy. Now, Away embraced Slack in more ways than one. Its co-founder, actually, Jen Rubio, is engaged to Slack's CEO, Stuart Butterfield. Now, these rules about Slack private channels were there in the names of transparency, but employees say they created a culture of intimidation and constant surveillance. So once, when a suitcase was sent out with a customer's incomplete initials stenciled onto the luggage tag, the CEO, I should say former CEO, Steph Corey, said that the person in charge must have been, quote, brain dead and threatened to take over the project. Now, Slack bullying was a thing, explains a former member of the creative team. In her experience, there's extensive and relentless. It wasn't just co-workers pinning things on one another. It came from the executives. The former CEO was infamous for tearing into people on Slack. Now, what happened was this private channel on Slack was then infiltrated by the former CEO, Steph Corey, and she began calling people into a room the day afterwards, one by one. Flanked by the company's head of people and general counsel, she fired six people the following day. Now, not only that, but employees were asked to work exceedingly long hours, limit their paid time off. Projects were brutally criticised by executives on public Slack channels. They were reprimanded for not answering messages immediately, even late nights and on weekends. Now, the thing is, when you have a cutthroat culture like that, and you are told almost regimentally how to do things, it can have an effect where you can grow very, very quickly because everybody's working as though it's some kind of armed forces. It developed a bit of a cult following between celebrities and millennials. And what they did was to position Away as a travel company and not a luggage brand, as we've mentioned. You know, they teamed up with a whole bunch of influencers. They pushed out all like that. And one of the things that started happening was that people were staying so late that even members of the customer service team would be in their bed emailing at 1 a.m. And what she would do was send out an email and it was like, hey, I'm in my bed right now working. And she would snap a photograph. Everybody else upload their pictures of themselves working in bed right now, please. So it was that kind of trying to guilt trip you into doing something. And apparently that email that she sent out was 1,217 words long in the Slack channel.
And like one of the things, so in the article in The Verge, it's a very long article, it's a very long read. But, you know, and we've seen these kinds of words that have been thrown around because the former employee joined in the summer of 2017 and she was, you know, being paid, I guess, minimum when you compare it in how, you know, wages is being paid in New York City. But one of the things, like, the bosses over there were saying that, like, you know, you should be lucky because you are, you know, everyone wants to be part of this. You are joining a movement and, you know, makes you feel like, you know what, I'm building something here. Right. So, you know, you tend to, you motivate this person by using these words, right?
Right.
But then, I guess, they don't see the reward at the end of the day, right? Because they may do this for, well, the motivation maybe lasts for a month or two.
Yeah.
Until you realize that you're basically being used to do extra work in that 1,200 over 217 words email that she sent across, you know, the boss was saying that, you know, I understand your heartaches of 20, I think this was in 2015 and in 2017 and all that kind of challenges that we faced, but let's look back at the year and there are two scenarios. You know, one is that if we all take leave on this particular day, you know, the businesses will be tough and everything and all. It's playing that guilt trip on you. Or the other thing is, if we all can work like extra hours for the next coming weeks and so, we can then take the whole month off in January and so on and forth. So you go like, yeah, why? That's just guilt tripping me, right?
I mean, and that was done during a period of Christmas and New Year, right? So when people had planned to go home and visit with family, and a lot of those people had to cancel their plans, come back to the office and work through Christmas and New Year.
How old is this company? And we're just looking at the website here, and well, on the website, it still featured her as the CEO, right?
I believe it's not that old, 2015, 2016 or something like that. But it's after this article was published on December the 5th that she's actually stepped down and she's been replaced by the former COO of Lululemon, a guy called Stuart Haselden. Also, Lululemon have also had their fair share of problems as well not too long ago. But I mean, like you say, Jeff, the idea of guilt tripping in people into working longer hours, and the idea of like, you want to be a part of something big, we want to be a wonderful company and we want to be this.
I think it's the Jekyll and Hyde thing, you know, that's sort of like, you know, you get this really wonderful message and everything, and then you get the person saying, you know, oh, what was that? The comment again about...
they must be brain dead.
They must be brain dead. Mm. So it's that, you know, you look at Howard Schultz, right? When he Starbucks and how just people love it, and then he left and then he came back, and there's empathy with the people that he worked with, and I don't see two sides of you, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's this like, oh, Happy New Year, everybody, and then after that, you send this message and say, you must be brain dead. It's like, who am I dealing with?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So, and that, I guess, is the reason why there's distrust in the companies. Now, I'm just wondering, like, you know, so they're saying that they reply like about 100 emails or something, right? So, sorry, 1,000 cases. And that's normal for us at the point when, you know, Zandi Pasanan was sending that email out. So, you know, you're saying that the second scenario is where we would have the whole team to work on a full day on New Year's Day and answer 1,000 cases. and then in brackets, normal for us at this point. So it's just trying to give you, wow, it's an absurd amount number, but then you also try to say, like, it's normal for us at this point because we're crunch time and so on.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, it's like, you're just selling luggages? Because I've looked at your site, you're selling luggages and you have to reply 1,000 cases a day. What is wrong with the product?
Right,
like,
right.
That for me screams alarm bells.
Now, further on down the line, what happened is they managed to bring in a guy that was the kind of middleman between the CEO and the customer service people. So he was the buffer between the CEOs and the employees. And the employees said, this guy was great. You know, he looked you in the eye, he said, these are the problems, we need to deal with them. And he was very human. And loving,
fired?
Loving and warm. Fired. He lasted 4 months.
Okay.
You know. Yeah. But anyway, that's the discussion that we're having. Of course, if you have been part of a toxic work environment and you want to vent, you want to talk about it, we will keep you anonymous. Do let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. A short break coming up right now from Heinz with The Club. When we come back, we'll be giving some of your messages and a few more little updates about Away. Don't you go anywhere, though. This is Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Jeff Sandu.
We are discussing toxic workplaces today, toxic environments, places that you'd rather not work, or you have no choice but to either vent anonymously, like we're asking you to do, or leave a place sometimes. That's generally what tends to happen. Out of all of the people that were interviewed for the Verge article that I just mentioned, 11 people interviewed. All of those people interviewed for that story have since left that company, just to let you know. So you're not on your own. For those of you out there who are in a toxic environment, there is a way out of it. Jeff, give us some tweets.
Yeah, so I'll keep everyone anonymous. I won't mention the Twitter handles, but then again, it's on Twitter, so you know, it's not really anonymous. If you go into like digital services like Twitter, or I guess especially on Twitter,
WhatsApp, you can be anonymous.
So if you reply us on WhatsApp, you will remain anonymous, or even on Insta Story, you will remain anonymous. But on Twitter, I'll just mention a few. One reply saying, "Who doesn't? Just keep your head down, get the job done, go home, give your loved ones as many kisses as you can, do the things you love doing, and then go and have a good rest. Rinse and repeat until it's your turn to be the boss. Then you can create the culture that you love. Or if the higher ups in your current company can still be safe, work hard to get to the top so you can inject some positive culture to the workplace. It works either way, if only we treat others like how we treat our loved ones." So I like the way he ended that. There's another one that says he's in one right now from a real solid working environment. To, you know, this really, really bad, toxic working environment. But if it isn't for the money, he would have gone to a better environment. And he says a note to take here is the culture is a definite top down.
Right.
Which is, pretty much very true in most businesses, right?
On WhatsApp, I work in one gentleman here. Okay, gentlemen. I work in a company that most employees avoided the responsibilities and the managers also avoided the responsibilities too. No consequences on low performance. My own manager see me as a performer, then all the responsibilities were being pushed to me, whereby those non-performing just leave it there and get their salary on a monthly basis. Another one here, would like to check how to manage a head of department who's an expatriate, who does not take any feedback and continue to put unnecessary pressure on staff, causing at least 15 staff to resign and asking for transfer since she joined the department 3 years ago.
Wow.
The department has 20 staff. Is the HOD causing the department to be toxic? And that's the thing I wonder, right? What is HR doing? If you're noticing that the attrition is so high in the department, what are you doing? Another one here, interesting. I used to work as an engineering instructor in a private facility, family-owned aviation college. I think I know this one. To me, it was toxic because too much Tai Chi culture. I have to do all the work here while my colleagues were loafing around. This happens every day at work. The managers were incompetent. Quality managers, no idea about sharing real and proper quality according to the aviation legislation standards. Examination manager frequently take bribes from students and leak exam questions. since even the CEO allows his inexperienced son to teach us a lecturer. Long story short, I was fired from my job for being a whistleblower. Thank God I have friends helping me to get a new job after that, and I'm very thankful that I'm no longer working in such a corrupt organization. I forgot to mention, months before I left, we experienced massive pay cuts. However, the CEO got himself a Ford Mustang and his son a BMW.
Wow.
So
I've got some Insta stories as well. People can be both an angel and evil at the same time. There are times when people lose their morality. I've then got, yes, the HOD was being a person personal with his attacks. And then I've got somebody else who says, please follow me for a shout out. So
no.
No. Right. So a few things then. You know, the culture, the family-based business, you know, and I think that's often where you first start seeing a lot of people's first exposure to this kind of toxic behavior as well. Because, you know, family businesses are often, they've been established quite a while, and it's assumed that sons and daughters and aunties and uncles and cousins are going to be part of that. And no matter how hard you try, you are never going to be as close as the family members are within that business. Right. And I think that is often leveraged on by the family members. And, you know, you can feel yourself being pushed.
So there are a couple of organizations that are family owned, right, that we know of. I think it's you sort of know, okay, the son probably will take over one day, and you understand that. And there's clarity, right? And you see that the son probably has the right training to get over, to get to the level. And if it doesn't matter. But you know that that's probably going to be but it should be fair for everyone else. I mean, how can the examination manager be taking bribes from students and that sort of thing, right? I think that's the problem when that's not communicated up front. I see you can have your future in the organization, know that you'll never be the owner CEO in a family run business, but other than that, it should be upfront communication and where the growth is in this organization.
Right. I'm just still shocked by Away, that company itself in the US, because they're a lean startup, and you would expect a startup like that who's doing something pretty fun, you would say, right? This is like creating luggages, and then they say, well, we don't sell luggage suitcases, we actually sell a travel experience, which is the typical of a startup in the 21st century, right? But yet it's certain individuals who are at the top who is causing this toxicity.
Well, you see, okay, a lot of these startups, I'm assuming she's in her 20s or early 30s, right? Where I don't know, okay, I'm just assuming, and that's where also does she have the managerial experience. You have the entrepreneur experience. Doesn't mean that you can lead people.
She came from a fairly privileged background.
Right.
And the two co-founders, from what I understand, used to work for a company that dealt with travel things before. They worked for a sunglasses company. They used Slack a lot to communicate. In fact, the two co-founders were very close on using Slack as a third space to kind of vent about their former employees. You know, so that's something they're aware of and what people use it for. But when they were interviewed in a bunch of other interviews, they said, look, we took what we learned from our previous companies and created a way to get away from those previous toxic environments. Yet it seems to me like the CEO herself is just one of those very, very driven individuals who assumes that everybody is as driven as she is. When you are not, you know, you become, you know, not an enemy almost.
Because everyone has a different pace of doing things, right?
Right.
You just have to ensure that the goals are met. How they meet these goals is you just need to, like for me, in my case, it's always just you have a visibility of how they're reaching their goals, because then you can sort of step in if they're slacking, or you could sort of, you know, give them a pat on the back if you know they're excelling. But you don't get everyone to be on that same, you know, rail as
it's
you
impossible.
Are. You can't, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's I guess why. But again, go down to, if you have 1,000 cases that you have to report and reply every single day for a lean startup like this, which I'm very sure no one here in Malaysia has heard of Away, the luggage brand.
Yeah.
And if you have to reply 1,000 a day, there is something wrong in your product itself. So maybe there should be a refocus or alignment within the product, instead of just asking your lean staff to, you know, plug the holes that have been leaking, because they can only do so much. Yeah. So, yeah, well, interesting.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, folks. More music up next from Bob Marley and the Wailers with Could You Be Loved. Let's lighten the mood a little bit before we start talking about forest fires. If you've got something you want to talk to us about, if you have been part of a toxic work environment, do let us know. We can have a chat about it. 018-789-8899. On WhatsApp, of course, Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. When we come back, we'll be talking about why sustainable financing is crucial. We've got a guest who'll be giving us his opinion, of course. It is Baiza Bain. He's the from FICUS Capital Ventures. We're back in just a few moments here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.